Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Nia Akwete, who is a DC-based independent policy researcher who monitors the impact of U.S. and global policies and actions on Africa and helps integrate Africa's several diasporas. He frequently appears on Al Jazeera and testifies to the United States Congress, and previously he was the executive director of Africa Action, founder of the Democracy and Conflict Research Institute in Accra, Ghana, founding executive director of the West Africa arm of the Soros Foundation in Nigeria, and professor of African studies at Georgetown University, and editor and research director at Trans-Africa Forum. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nia Akwete.
It's such a pleasure to be back again. Thanks for having me.
Now, I was just watching you on Al Jazeera last night in a roundtable discussion on both what's happening in Mali, and of course that's been complicated by what's just been happening in Algeria, where a bunch of oil workers were captured by so-called Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb, and it looks like the Algerian army, in trying to rescue them, has killed quite a number of the Western hostages. Give us a sense to begin with. What is this relationship between the AQIM and the Tuaregs in Mali, and also the what's happening in terms of the Algerian government? Are they exporting their problem? Is that what's going on?
It's such a complicated relationship, and so I will try to simplify it as much as time and circumstances allow, but there will be nuances that we will sort of slide over. Yes, you know, the AQIM, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, it is largely an Algerian terrorist group. I use the word terrorist advisedly because sometimes you smear Islam unfairly when you call them Islamists because they don't always behave as if they believe in even Islam. Okay, so they use their religious mantle, but they are very, they are a fighting group that fought against the Algerian government. Now, to give them a little bit of credit, because I'm largely against them, but you have, their origin is that in the early 90s, they were cheated. They were then just an Islam group competing for politics in Algeria. They were about to win the elections, and with the support of the U.S. and the French, the Algerian generals canceled the elections and stole the elections. And so the Islamists started fighting. They lost that fight. But the remnants, the die-hard remnants, you know, losing the fight in Algeria, went down into Mali. Algeria shares a long border in the Sahara Desert with Mali, Mali to the south of Algeria, just like maybe the U.S. and Mexico. And they went down into Mali and created a base there. They went through different names. And this was early 1990s. But after 9/11, and after Osama bin Laden, they, you know, they were mad at the French and their American allies. So they took opportunity of 9/11 and made an alliance with Al Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and changed their name to AQIM, Al Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. Then, of course, you have the Tuaregs, who are an ethnic community in northern Mali, and Mali became independent in 1960. By 1962, the Tuaregs had started fighting against the government in Bamako. The Tuaregs remind me of the Kurds in the Middle East because they are spread around across three countries, Algeria, Mali, and Niger. So they fought all three countries, but this we will focus on Mali. They had been fighting all for more than 50 years against the government. Fast forward to Libya. When Gaddafi was overthrown, the Tuaregs, who were there as a unit fighting for Gaddafi, went back into Mali heavily armed, and exactly a year ago today, January 17, 2012, they attacked, they rekindled the war, and they took the town of Menaka near the Algerian border. And since then, they've been fighting the government. So the three are very much linked. Now, in terms of the hostage situation in Algeria, it is very tragic. It's heartbreaking. But I think that if one has been following the situation, it shouldn't be too surprising. Number one, because the French went into Mali last Friday, 6 days ago. And I think with good reason. And to, you know, I think as critical as I am of Western intervention, of the U.S. intervention, and especially of French interventions, I think the French intervention in Mali last week is an exception. I make an exception for it. It is the least bad of the options. But once they went in, the groups that are now fighting the Malian government, they've taken over about 70% of Mali. Frankly, if France hadn't gone in, I think the groups would have taken over all of Mali by now. And so France blocked them. Of course, they didn't like it. So they issued a lot of threats. And they said France was opening the gates of hell. So what has just happened in eastern Algeria, on the border with Libya, with the taking of the hostages and the tragedy, to me, yes, it is them hitting back. I hope I haven't confused the situation too much, but I think those are some of the elements.
No, you haven't. And, of course, what you're talking about, in essence, here in the Equete, again, a D.C.-based independent policy researcher who monitors the impact of U.S. and global policies and actions on Africa, you're basically describing asymmetrical warfare. And aren't we in for more of that? As much as the French military seem to have stopped the advance of mostly Tuaregs. I mean, it's a broader struggle between France and the West against al-Qaeda, but internally in Mali itself, it is part of a long-standing battle between the South and the Tuaregs in the North. Is that right?
That is very correct. And you are also, quite on the money in saying that this is asymmetrical warfare. It is not a matter of saying, okay, France is going to conquer this particular city and then the fight is over. Nothing like that. So you are quite right, and that is worrisome. But here is where, I'm holding, figuratively, I'm holding my nose and saying, okay, if you give me a choice between the four groups, the four militias, the MNLA, the Tuareg Fighting Force, which wants independence in the north, plus the three jihadist groups that they are allied with, they are fighting the government of Mali, and they've taken most of Mali. So if my choice is, let these four groups take over Mali, and what will happen thereafter versus support the French, or at least understand why it's better for the French to step in and stop the militias, takeover of Mali, then I side with the French. But it is only because it is the worst, the least bad of those two options. And that is why I support it. But you are right, it is very dangerous. It can lead to a whole number of things. Is there an end in sight? Not really, but one other reason why I think that even progressives like me, pan-Africanists, anti-imperialists, who are very suspicious of the 500 years of Western and European interventions and wars in Africa and third world countries, that suspicion and opposition to any intervention is well-placed. I am just pleading that this is an exception. And the reason it is an exception is this. If we have only two choices as of last week when the French went in, if you do nothing, the situation is going to be much worse. So it's not as if you say, well, look, we shouldn't intervene. My point is, if we don't intervene, of all the things that are bad things that are happening now, all of the things that we can imagine happening now, from France manipulating the government, going for because of resources, and all the hostage taking and terror activities, so back. All of that, I'm saying, are credible and could happen. But my fear is the alternative. If there was no intervention, effective intervention, what would have happened is that by now they would have taken over Mali. Speculation, of course, but I think it's informed speculation. And if they take over Mali, all of West Africa will be inflamed and destabilized. I kid you not. I mean, from Senegal all the way to Nigeria, in my view, and this is just West Africa, and it could have jumped to East Africa. And I'm not exaggerating. I genuinely have that fear. I also think you have to look at, okay, we need to look at what are the Malians themselves, what do they feel about this? What do they feel about the presence of the French? What do the West Africans feel? What do all of Africa, the African Union, feel? And I can tell you, Ian, that if we were to do a good, serious poll of Malians, of West Africans, and of all Africans, I think I will bet that in Mali, you will get like 90% support. In the rest of Africa, you'll get 99% support. Because what the Africans are saying is Mali is on fire. West Africa will soon be on fire. We can't put out the fire ourselves. They've been begging for a year for international support. They didn't get it. Finally, France arrives at the last moment. So all of them are praising the French for coming in. Now, frankly, I wish the Americans, as much as I'm an anti-imperialist and a leftist, I would have actually preferred the Americans for this reason only. As I said on Al Jazeera last night, the United States has a tradition of civil society, African Americans, progressives, the anti-war movement. They hold the government's feet to the fire, from Vietnam to the civil rights movement, to the anti-apartheid movement. There are people and traditions that if the U.S. government gets involved in Africa, they say, we are going to watch what you are doing. We'll make you do the right thing. Plus the fact that the current president's father is an African. The French have gone in, and temporarily I am a little relieved because they are blocking the takeover of all of Mali. But France doesn't have that tradition of French civil society forcing their government to pull back from misadventures, okay? The French were in Vietnam, and they pulled back only because the Vietnamese beat them. The United States was forced out of Vietnam by Americans. So I would have liked that the Americans have done it, and that would have been my fourth option, by the way. I think my first option would have been that Malians had been strong enough to resist these Islamist groups and even the Tuaregs, because I have sympathy. I'm a double minority. Ghana, where I'm from, I'm a minority. The United States, I'm a minority. So I really revere minority rights. But I don't think minority rights, except for extreme circumstances, should be done through war. Mali has been a democracy for the last 20 years. They could have slugged through their differences, but this particular group of Tuaregs who came from Libya, they were not interested in talking. They started a war. In fact, the president was overthrown because Malians were saying, you are not fighting them. You say you want to talk to them, but they are just deceiving you and killing our people. Okay, so I'm saying the Tuareg grievances should be sorted out through peaceful means, not through war. And so the Malians, if they had been strong, would have been good. The next preference for me would have been that the Africans could have helped Mali, and they did all they can. But they were also realistic in saying the problem is bigger than us. We want the world to help us. The world did not help them. I wish that the third option would have been the UN. The UN didn't do it, and I do fault the U.S. because the U.S. they didn't take the problem seriously. Frankly, I think that even as we speak, the U.S. is not taking the problem seriously because it seems to me the thinking is, oh, it's just Africa. Oh, you know, who cares? If this was Europe, they would react differently. I give the French marks for taking it very seriously.
Well, Nick, I'm afraid we've run out of time here, and I... thank you for your sort of history lesson, going back to the FIS, the Islamic Salvation Front, who would have won the election in Algeria, then were brutally put down by the military government. But they became themselves so brutal that even the Algerian people turned against them. And the idea that the remnants of these psychotic Islamists, as they call themselves, are a part of this problem leads you to feel that it's not going to go away soon.
No, it's not. And I thank you for having me. I hope we get to do it again because it's a big problem. Next time I'll try to be simpler and clearer.
No problem. But we just don't have the time today, and I thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Nia Quetta. He's a DC-based independent policy researcher who monitors the impact of U.S. and global policies and actions on Africa and helps integrate Africa's several diasporas. He frequently appears on Al Jazeera and testifies to the United States Congress. And previously, he was executive director of Africa Action, founder of the Democracy and Conflict Research Institute in Accra, Ghana, founding executive director of the West African arm of the Soros Foundation in Nigeria, and professor of African studies at Georgetown University, and editor and research director at Trans-Africa Forum. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back and joined in the studio by three campaign reform activists on the third anniversary of the Citizens United decision.